Peter Bruegel's Triumph of Death is clearly a representative depiction of the Black Death, and it is a gruesome but fascinating piece that just shows the power that death has over us mortals. However, his work wasn't the first one depicting this concept of the triumph of death, nor it was the first one where skeletons danced amongst humans. Today, we will see when these concepts became mainstream, how the Black Death twisted the religious significance of death, and when death is finally seen dancing humans to their demise. Hi, I'm Miguel Cano Gallo, and this is Canvas, a podcast about art, literature, and everything in between. Episode 2, The Dance After the Triumph. Hello guys, and welcome to the second episode of Canvas. I hope you are doing okay in this quarantine. This has been a great first week for the podcast, and I am really grateful with all my friends which have greatly supported me, and with all the people that have listened to the podcast. Thank you so much for that. Today we will continue the reading on the concept of the triumph of death, starting from its religious importance before the Black Death, followed by the impact of the outbreak on 13th and 14th century art, and finally introducing the Danse Macabre, or the Dance of the Death, and its appearance in other Triumph of Death works. So, just grab a drink and relax. It is natural for us as humans to be afraid and intrigued by death. Death is something that is only experienced once, at the end of our lifetime. Thus, when we say, I have seen death, I have experienced death, it is because we were outsiders, just bystanders. Else, we wouldn't be saying those words. It is therefore understandable that death in art wasn't a thing that came with the Black Death, as we saw. We have seen depictions of death in every other culture way before the late medieval and the Renaissance. However, because the Black Death was such an event in Europe's history, the conception of the triumph of death was immediately attributed to this specifically tragic event. But I will tell you how death was influencing European culture and Italian culture since the beginning of the 14th century, that said, 50 years before the Black Death itself. In Italy, during the beginning of the 14th century, the idea of death being the only universal truth was already haunting the artists' minds and the collective thinking. Thus, around the 1330s, a huge fresco was being painted and presented in Camposanto Pisa, or what today is Camposanto Vecchio in the Piazza del Duomo. This fresco, attributed to two famous Italian painters, Francesco Traini and Buonamico di Martino, was a reminder of huge proportions of the fact that death is imminent. Death is the only certainty in this life. The fresco itself is another triumph of death, a scene portraying an aristocratic crowd visiting three decaying bodies in open coffins, which belonged to a pope, a king, and a simple peasant. In the background, we see different landscape divisions, with angels, demons, men singing, women chatting, overall pointing to the different stages of life that one, independently of our social status, we will encounter, such as judgment, suffering, temptation, and eventually death. The overall scenery presents us with the idea that we need to avoid temptation, as well as engaging in earthly pleasures, so we can save ourselves after the inevitable death. This concept of the universality of death, and death bringing everyone together, gave birth to the triumph of death, which was a highly religious concept at this time. But a couple years later, with the horrors of the Black Death, it will serve as the basis for the dance after the triumph, the Danse Macabre. Like I briefly mentioned in the last episode, when the Black Death broke in Europe around 1347, the human cost was petrifying. Almost anyone who got infected was doomed to a terrible death, often painful and in isolation, resulting in around 50 to 60% of Europe's population dying. With such a death toll, the Black Death set a new period of obscurantism in art. No one gave importance to the evolution of art, and artists were getting erased by this bug. Now, medieval artists, the ones who didn't die, of course, were focused on painting the horrors of the plague, and with time, the triumph of death became an important concept to the people who were experiencing death from the outside, the bystanders that I told you. since death had become a truly almighty force. Thus, it comes as no surprise that by the beginning of the 15th century, the frescoes depicting death as the subject and humans as the object started to appear as a mainstream artistic conception in several churches and cemeteries in Europe. Death now had triumphed, and not only in the physical world. So around the 1420s, death, shown as skeletons now and not as a concept, is seen dancing and bringing humans to the grave for the first time in the cemetery of the Holy Innocents, right in Paris. Eventually, like I hinted before, the triumph of death and the dance macabre will become complementary to each other, and the sacred component of the triumph will now be replaced by a more grotesque and folkloric representation of death. Moving forward, a little bit into the 15th century, circa 1445, another fresco with the triumph of death was being painted, but now the emphasis was on the grotesque and not on the sacred wisdom of the first work. This late Gothic scene presents death as a skeleton again, which is riding an also decayed horse. The skeleton now abruptly enters a luxurious garden and starts killing with arrows the people in the scene. Below lay dead a bunch of corpses from all social places, while the horse just crushes their lifeless bodies. People look horrified, but some have already accepted their destiny and look at the deathly figure in a calm and serene manner. I know that I have overemphasized the idea that death doesn't distinguish who's rich, who's powerful, who's poor, and so on, but it is because this was a predominant theme in Triumph of Death oeuvres. As I said when I talk about Bruegel's work, the triumph is meant to signify that death, no matter what, overcomes the mundane. Going back to this triumph fresco though, death is the main subject of the scene, standing with his horse in the center of the mural, stealing with his horrific appearance all the attention, while the humans being slayed and killed are just complementary to the scene. Hence, the triumph of death finally jumps from a thematic conception, like in the Trainees or Buonamico's fresco, to become the protagonic element of the scene, which will later become possible inspiration to Bruegel's own triumph. Having talked about the two other works named The Triumph of Death, before we get into how the dance and the triumph finally converge in the 1445 fresco, we need to see some elements that are characteristic to the dance macabre, and that basically define the genre in its basics. First, yeah, dance macabre refers to the dance of the dead. And right now, we can remember some pop culture examples, like the famous Disney skeleton dance. But in the 15th century, for obvious reasons, this dance was a little bit more macabre, and it intended to show how death is finally dancing the living to their graves, thus resulting in death being personified by skeletons and other ghastly figures performing human-like activities, instead of just being a symbolic concept. Basically, death here adopts a humanish persona who is now in charge of leading actual humans to their final destination. So in the 1445 fresco, we are finally seeing all these elements in a triumph of death scene. Death is doing human-like things, you know, riding a horse, breaking into garden parties, and, well, killing other humans, while at the same time, death is leading people at the party to their demise. And yeah, death is not dancing here, but you kinda get me. So now, the triumph of death is not only a religious concept talking about the mundane and the temptation and the sacred, but it is now a grotesque concept, where the artists make fun of human fragility by putting death on top of everything else. This has definitely been a long road to finally present Bruegel's triumph in terms of the dance macabre and the original conception of the triumph. I think that you already figured the incorporation of these concepts in Bruegel's work, but as the last representative artwork depicting the triumph of death and carrying its name, I think it is important to mention how the elements now come together. In Bruegel's work, now we see something kinda closer to the skeleton dance, at least in number of skeletons. Death is not only one skeleton anymore, which is mocking humanity and erasing them from Earth. It is a full freaking army. Death jumps from performing basic human activities to fully copy human societies. For example, death has an army, death has flags, death performs religious rituals, death copy arts, etc. Death now came from being mere human symbolism, as in the first triumph of death, to forcing its way into the frame, like in the 1445 fresco, and finally conquering our world. In Bruegel's work, death dances with clear reason. It erased first great part of Europe during the Black Death. It took away its artist, and finally, it appropriated art altogether. And with this, we have come to the conclusion of these two episodes exploring art during the Black Death and the subsequent Renaissance. I know that I focused more on the Memento Mori artworks, when there were really a lot of other artworks and movements also inspired or affected by the Black Death. But I also think that the concept of the Triumph of Death and Memento Mori is a little bit more pertinent to describe the effect that the plague had in early Renaissance. From this episode, I also say something about a debate on whether it was Treni or Buonamico, the one who painted the first Triumph of Death. I decided not to explain this part here, so the episode wasn't running for too long. However, I will upload a small bonus explaining this debate, because depending on the author of the mural, its relation to the Black Death can change. Next week, we will be moving forward in history, but we will stay on this topic of art during outbreaks. If you guys have any questions or ideas, let me know. And remember, you can email me to canvasclubpodcast@gmail.com or message me on Instagram. I am also planning a nice collab with a friend of mine where we will hopefully bring you some cool readings, so stay tuned. Remember, let me know if you liked the podcast and also if you didn't like it, because I really value your opinion. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next one. This was Miguel Cano for Canvas.